want to fuck your mom.
50 Randy Quaid.
Fuck, don't even waste your time.
50 Randy Quaid.
She just, like, used up.
We watch movies so you don't have to.
Welcome to 50 Randy Quaid's. I'm your host, Chuck Banner. My co-hosts are...
Jason Fisher.
And Tater.
And we watched The Counselor. So, basically, this movie is 2 hours you're never going to get back. And it's about a counselor who decides he wants to make a drug deal, makes a drug deal, shit goes bad, and then nothing happens, the end. That's this movie in a nutshell. 30 seconds or less.
For sure. I'd like to talk about the cast and crew before we dive into this movie.
All right.
Oh, star-studded cast. Holy cow. There are so many good actors in this. Brad Pitt, Penelope Cruz, Michael Fassbender. The director was the guy that did Alien, Blade Runner, American Gangster, Ridley Scott. And it was written by the guy that wrote No Country for Old Men.
All right, so don't forget that John Leguizamo was also uncredited in this movie because he didn't want his name attached to this piece of shit. Yeah. Or at least that's what I'm thinking.
Would tend to agree with that. He's got his name attached to a lot of pieces of shit, so, you know.
He is the star of Fugly.
He was also in...
Fugly.
Hey, Matt,
I'm going to say it one more time. Fugly. There is a movie called Fugly starring John Leguizamo. And yet, he didn't want his name attached to The Counselor.
That sounds like a movie we should do on the review.
Okay, so he doesn't want his name attached to a movie what's budget was $25 million and which grossed in the United States less than $17 million. Wow. And like you said, Brad Pitt, Cameron Diaz, the dude from No Country for Old Men.
Javier Bardem.
There we go.
You know his name.
Yeah.
I see it and I still can't pronounce it.
He has a really weird accent.
He was awesome in No Country.
Oh, Penelope Cruz.
Oh, yeah, Penelope Cruz.
Who, spoiler alert, fucking dies. Head chopped off. That happens.
That's pretty amazing. I didn't even know it was her the first time.
Oh, you didn't? You didn't know that body falling out of that,
Didn't care.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't care. Yeah. I lost interest.
Even the second time?
Well, that's like an hour and 45 minutes into the movie.
That's like...
When this happens, which is near the end, and at this point, you're just like, is this movie over yet? I want to fucking die.
I'm kind of glad.
Okay, so I bought this movie for $2.50, and I feel fucking robbed.
It was worth 50 cents.
I tried to sell it to Sean last night for $2.
Yeah, no.
And I told him I would eat the 50 cents, and he declined to buy it. So Sean comes into this movie 30 minutes in. Is like, so what's happened? And I'm like, nothing.
Yeah.
We've seen a shitload of cheetah scenes.
What?
Okay, so let's go back to the beginning of this movie.
Yeah.
All right, so it opens up on a motorcycle driving really fast, which makes no sense at first. And you think, oh, this is going to mean nothing. But then it ties into the movie strangely.
Unlike everything else in the movie.
Unlike everything else in this movie. Okay, so then we go into this sex scene where I know you wrote something down.
Hold on, let's talk about how you missed the beginning of the movie the first time we watched it. And you go into the kitchen to get something.
This is after this scene, though.
It was after the sex scene?
Yeah, it was after the sex scene. Because it was the girl riding a horse chasing a cheetah.
Yeah!
And I was like, hey, did I miss anything? Because I was going to grab a soda. And you're like, yeah, there was this girl chasing a cheetah on a horse.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right. And I sit down and I'm like, you know what? No. This guy is fucking lying to me. Let me rewind this.
Yep.
And lo and behold, there's a girl fucking riding a horse, chasing or being chased by a cheetah. Or maybe the cheetah's just running.
It's tandem.
And that's the first time you see a cheetah.
That's the first time you see a cheetah.
And not the last.
No.
Not the last. No. There are cheetahs all over this movie.
Yeah, it's...
In fact, Cameron Diaz is a cheetah.
Yeah.
I wrote down multiple times Catwoman instead of writing Diaz. Catwoman takes longer to write, and
you know, still. I gotta say though, Cameron Diaz was kind of sexy in this movie. It was the only thing that kind of kept me.
Negative.
I like the cheetah tattoos.
Negative.
I like the side boob.
She looked so bad. So bad. She just looked used up and no.
I guess it's the kind of girls I like.
All right, so let's get back to the sex scene between our main character who doesn't have a name. And his name is Counselor.
The counselor.
The counselor. In fact, he is billed as a counselor in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So him and Penelope Cruz are having like, or like, first they're messing around, and then it just turns into they're banging.
It's kind of weird how like it's why I mean why would you open the movie with that graphic of a sex scene, okay, but then make it open nothing? With them under the sheets and completely, show nothing, just rolling around.
Yeah.
That was just weird.
My question is, hold on, the counselor
just basically eats her out, and the sheet is floating over them.
Yeah, the whole time they're having sex, and their hands are not holding the sheet up, but the sheet is floating around them. There is nothing holding that sheet up. How is that possible? I wish I could do that in bed. If I could make the sheet levitate.
I saw you wrote that. You wrote that down.
Yeah.
You're like, how is this happening?
Well, did you catch that? All right, when it opens and they're rolling around, don't you get the feeling like they were having sex all night?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and then she wants him to go down on her, and she's like, let me tidy up. And he's like, nah, I'm good.
Before that, I love this. What time is it? 2? A.M. or P.M.? Give me a fucking break.
Right?
That is light in the room. How is it 2 in the fucking morning?
Right.
There is no like light posts out their window, which is shining directly in light. No, there is just sunlight coming in their bedroom with all these fucking open windows. Like, no blinds. It is fucking... ugh. Even under a fucking blanket, you can tell. Because that sheet was so fucking thin. You can tell that there's light in that room, and it is not 2 in the morning. This is all in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah.
And by the way, the whole dialogue during that scene didn't matter for the entire rest of the movie.
Oh, it just shows that he loves him, or loves her. Which comes around to another pointless fucking scene where he buys a diamond.
It did not.
And that is a long scene. And it's like a
fancy diamond.
It is a super long scene. This was like 10 fucking minutes.
Yeah.
Let me buy this diamond. Let me look at the diamond. Let me see a diamond. Diamond, diamond, diamond.
We got like,
who fucking cares? You're going to buy her an engagement ring. There should be in, out. I buy the ring. Done. Scene done. Barely even need to see it. Because, I fucking hate this movie.
This is the only point to that scene I saw. This scene actually had a little bit of a point. I kind of picked it up the first time. At some point, he's describing
the cut.
How to grade a diamond.
Yeah.
All right. The jeweler is describing how to grade
this comes
diamond.
Back because Cameron Diaz is a fucking...
Hold on. No. It does come back there. But there's something else. And he starts with the least valuable diamond and works up to the most valuable diamond, showing the counselor, how to grade these diamonds. This is the only thing I saw really come up other than Cameron Diaz asking about it. When he gets to the best diamond, he explains that there's no such thing as a perfect diamond. So when he shows the counselor the perfect diamond, he calls it a cautionary diamond. Because you've got to be cautious. Because there is...
all diamonds.
Cautionary diamonds. A flaw with that diamond. You just got to find it. At least that's what I gathered. It was really hard to keep track through all that dialogue. That was just boring. That cautionary diamond comes back in a couple scenes later when he first meets Brad Pitt. And he uses the word cautionary.
Brad Pitt. And like everybody involved in this drug deal tries to talk him out of it. Like, they know it's going to go bad.
Oh, yeah. They just keep telling them.
Well, you know that you shouldn't do this, right? Like, you shouldn't. Well, my back is against the wall, says the counselor.
Right.
Well, maybe you shouldn't be spending however much it is you spent on that fucking diamond that you just bought.
And try to open a nightclub and try to do this big drug deal with the cartel. And they keep telling them how it's just a different world. It's a different world. You don't want to... Their whole world is different.
All right. So let's get back to the cheetahs, because I wrote cheetah a lot. So these cheetahs are like trained fucking dogs or cats. And this is where we see Diaz and
Bardem
for the first time.
Yeah.
And she says something.
Reiner and Malinkia.
What?
Something like that.
Malkina?
Yeah, I can't pronounce it. It's like Malkina.
Malkina?
That's the only thing I can think of is Malkina. Maybe.
Yeah,
that's weird.
Yeah.
But she's supposed to really love these cats and like. They're the thing that really gets her going. And there is no emotion on her face at all when she's looking at these. Like, she doesn't smile. Nothing.
They're not hers.
Even still.
Did you catch the names of the cats
She says at the end where I didn't catch the names.
When her and the dude are talking at the end at the dinner table,
her and her
He banker. Asks, how are the cats? And she's like, one died and the other one's in Arizona or whatever.
Yeah. But she names them and everything. And then she says, oh, that's the thing I'll miss the most, is seeing them run down a jackrabbit.
Yeah.
You know, get it.
Yeah. Look, I watched this movie twice. I don't remember the ending. Like, I was so burnt out by dialogue the first time through that, like, the second time through, I definitely didn't pay attention to the ending. Yeah. So.
All right. So, and then I wrote again, counselor makes a drug deal? Question mark? Because you can't, there's so much dialogue for what's going on in this scene, and it makes no fucking sense. Like, because the counselor is talking to Bartom about doing this drug deal, and Bartom's like, yeah, we can do the drug deal, like, you have to be fully committed to doing the drug deal if you're going to do it. And he's like, yeah, I'm fully committed. Don't worry about it. I'm relaxed. And he's like, you don't seem too relaxed. And he's like, oh, don't worry about it. I'm relaxed. And Bartom at the same time is like just talking about how he doesn't trust Diaz.
Yeah.
But she's like key to everything in his operation. But he doesn't trust her one fucking bit.
Yeah.
And then...
he's in love with her, though. He says it later.
Yeah, but it's... Half of his dialogue is him just telling these things that he's like, I shouldn't have told you that. And even fucking the counselor's like, why did you tell me that?
Like the Ferrari scene?
Yeah. We'll get to that. We'll get to that in a second. But then I have cheetahs in restaurants / club.
They were everywhere. Everywhere these she went. These
fucking cheetahs are everywhere.
Everywhere she went. I
don't understand why we need cheetahs in every fucking scene.
Did the cheetahs have the microphone she was listening in on?
She was listening in.
The cheetahs were everywhere.
Well, they were. She was.
So maybe the cheetahs were bugged and that's how she was listening in on them all.
Maybe.
Possible.
I don't know why they wouldn't show the bugs on the cheetahs, but they did have a close-up of their collars when they... later on in the movie.
But it just looked like diamond collars.
Yeah, they were just studded collars.
Alright, then I also write, after that scene, where it's just more pointless fucking talking about doing this drug deal, and I don't understand why it's so long. Every other movie that involves a drug deal, it's like, here's the money, here's the drugs, okay, be gone. Was the counselor... was he ever going to physically touch the drugs and sell them?
No.
So he's just a money guy.
He just wanted the money. It was just like playing the stock market or something.
He was the one... I kind of figured it out the second time through. Because when he does first meet Brad Pitt asks him if he's got the money. He was the one giving the money to the people with the drugs.
So Bartom sets it up for him to talk to Pitt. And then he talks to Pitt. And he gives the money to Pitt. Pitt does the deal. And then the guys... who gets the drugs? Does Pitt find a buyer for the drugs then?
Yes, he's billed as the buyer. He's Hank from Breaking Bad. I don't remember the actor's name. He is the buyer.
You find that out later. Pointless fucking people in this movie.
Pretty much what it is it tries to show the background of huge drug operations. Right? Well, They show all the boring parts of the drug deal. And Guy Ritchie shows all the cool parts of the drug deal.
It's basically how you would feel if you were this guy and you were involved in this drug deal. That's how you're supposed to feel. Met this girl he loved.
I don't know. I fucking hated this movie so much. I mean, I was like watching it intently. Watching it and like just kept on like hanging on every fucking crappy fucking word. And I was waiting for it to get good. And then there'd be like a 5-minute scene of shit going down and then it goes right back to super boring. Just blah, 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 talking about nothing. In
a lot of irrelevant dialogue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So much irrelevant dialogue. there's just so many scenes, too, that can be cut out of this movie. Okay, so the counselor proposes. She, like, freaks out or whatever, you know, loves it. And that scene's over. Pretty fast, for the most part. Then they go back to Bardem to, like, talk more about the drug deal. Except for now, they're focusing on the girls. And Cameron Diaz is laying there, like, naked, except for a towel covering her boobs somehow.
She's laying
there. And she's got this, like... Yeah, but it's, like, the towel is, like, up.
Yeah.
And, like, just...
Barely covering.
But, like, how would that have covered that? The way it was, like, also showing her side boob and, like, her back and everything like that.
We're
and
had to show off so the you tattoo. Could
show off this fucking cheetah tattoo that she has on her body. And you're like, oh, okay, well... She's a fucking cheetah. Because there's cheetah girls in this movie. And
you know, after the last movie, we could have went in thinking she was going to turn into a cheetah by the end of the movie.
No shit, man. Like, and that's why I just started writing down. That time.
Oh my god.
Yeah,
that for the first time you get to see her gold tooth.
I was like, oh my god.
The gold thing. I fucking hate this. Okay, so I write Diaz is part cheetah. Ugh.
You loved it.
I'm like less than a third down this sheet of paper. There is so much fucking stupid shit. And like I wrote country club scene. Pointless.
Yeah, with the redneck, when the redneck approaches him.
You'd think that this would come back at some point in the movie. No. Never. If anything, it proves this scene wrong later. When the counselor
What's
is
the country
like,
club scene?
When the redneck comes up.
When the redneck comes up.
And he's
Penelope Cruz, this guy will sell you down the river, huh?
This is something that I caught from that, too. And I thought this
And he has got a smoking fucking girlfriend.
Yeah. Yeah, he does.
What the fuck? She is like the most beautiful woman in this entire movie next to Penelope Cruz. And pointless.
No need. This is what I gathered from that, because it came up earlier, and it came up later, but had nothing to do with the end of the movie, at least as far as I can tell. So, the first time the counselor is with...
Bardem,
thank you.
Yeah, got to.
The first time the counselor's with Bardem explains that in order to keep a woman, you have to keep her entertained.
Yeah.
Bardem. During this scene, it comes up again. The little redneck jerk guy says to Penelope Cruz's character, so what's up, Petunia? Does he entertain you? Because you look like the kind of girl that would get bored easily.
Yeah.
Oh, kind of like me? Because this movie's fucking boring as shit.
Yeah, it was really boring. But that came up at some point later, too. I just,
don't remember because this movie is very fucking forgettable.
It is.
Well, there's just so much dialogue, it's hard to know what you're supposed to be soaking in and what is irrelevant.
Yeah, let's dwell on that dialogue for a second. All of it's really cryptic. All of it was made to sound deep and sound cool, but it just comes off cheesy. It sounds like an angsty teenage poem.
Yeah.
Like, the dialogue in
this dialogue is horrible. Could be cut in half, and there'd be too much.
Yeah, without a doubt. And it's just bad. I mean, Quentin Tarantino uses a lot of good dialogue. Kevin Smith uses a lot of good dialogue. That can be argued, I guess, by some, but...
Alright, this movie makes Tusk dialogue. Look like a fucking million dollars.
Used dialogue. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Alright, so the counselor's driving in his car, and he calls Bardem on his phone, and the drug deal's confirmed at this point. So now he goes to meet Brad Pitt. And... Brad Pitt, the middleman, let's go back to where the second scene with Bardem talking to the counselor. He is trying to talk him out of doing this drug deal. He is, like, trying to talk him out of doing this drug deal. And the counselor's like, no, we're doing it. I've got to get this money.
I'm good.
You know, shit's going down. We need money, or I need money. So, we're doing the drug deal. When he meets Pitt for the first time, Brad Pitt is trying to talk him out of doing this drug deal. He's like, hey, I've got enough money to where I can walk away right now. And the counselor's like, well, why don't you? And he's like, well, because I'm greedy.
That's because of the women.
And I want, man, the women. That's specifically what he says. Mm-hmm. Women.
Yeah.
And N-word, this movie is so overly sexualized.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Needlessly. I love sexualized movies, but this was...
Are they trying to make a drug deal feel like sex?
You know, sexually...
But at the same time, there was no nudity.
No, yeah.
There was only vulgar language. Just the dialogue is what made it overly sexy.
Yeah. Oh.
It's weird.
Not to mention the car scene. Which we'll get to, because it's close on my list here. So, Brad Pitt's trying to talk him out of it. Basically, this, like, super really long scene is just comes down to, alright, so, there's some bad people, and we're gonna buy the drugs from them, and we're gonna sell them to these other bad people, and you're gonna make some money, and I'm gonna make some money, and everybody's gonna make money. But if shit goes down, you are going to get fucked over, because they're gonna come for you. Because these are bad people, and they do bad shit. And then he meets Brad Pitt again in a bar. And Brad Pitt, I'm pretty sure this is the scene with the counselor and Brad Pitt. Correct me if I'm wrong. But, like, as he's leaving the bar, Brad Pitt from inside the bar is like, oh, you know why Jesus wasn't born in Mexico? Because he couldn't find three wise men and a virgin. And it's just like it made no sense.
It was kind of funny. Well, it added a little comedy. It was kind of funny.
But it's just like, let me just throw this in there to make no sense.
Yeah, it was kind of pointless in the movie, without a doubt. And it was poorly delivered, too.
Yeah.
It was really poorly delivered.
And then by, this has got to be coincidence, but they kind of make it seem like it isn't a coincidence that when the counselor finally starts counseling somebody, yet everybody just calls him the counselor. He's counseling this woman who, she's like, oh, well, my son just got arrested. You got to bail him out. It's $400. And so he's all like, $400, whatever. I'll pay that, bail him out.
Well, that's when you find out that he's the motorcycle.
So he's the motorcycle guy that's whizzing by in the first scene. And I'm guessing that's why he got arrested, because he was going fucking ridiculously fast. And she even says, like, 206. And he's all like, 206, that's not a... You know, that's not a speed, that's a weight.
Yeah.
He starts... This is the same guy that's, like, involved in the drug deal.
Yeah.
This guy that he gets off, that he has no... He's never met. He's just posted his bail, and it's his client's son. Is this happenstance? Like, did this mean to happen? Or was this just, like, super coincidental?
Well, when they were explaining it the first time I watched it through, I kind of felt like something was going on, because why was this woman in jail asking him when this other guy's in jail? And he could very easily be like, oh yeah, my mom's lawyer's name is, that's who I want to use, you know?
My mom's lawyer is named The Counselor.
The Counselor, yeah.
So, I want you to go find me The Counselor.
Yeah, go find The Counselor. Well, everybody knows who The Counselor is, because that's what they call him, right? So... But, you know, it was during this scene that the best joke of the movie was delivered. The very best joke of the movie was, it's $400 for the counselor to bail her son out.
God.
And he's like, okay, I'll bail him out, but you owe me. And the mom is like,
how about a blowjob?
How about a blowjob? And the counselor smiles. And he actually delivers this one well, too.
He does.
He says... Well, then you'd still owe me $380.
And she's all like,
that was really good.
Fuck you.
She's like, you're a smart ass.
That's the only reason to watch this movie. If you're going to watch this movie, fast forward to that scene, watch it, and shut it off.
Because this movie is fucking garbage.
I disagree. There's another scene that's a must watch.
Oh, the next scene that I have written down, where he's again talking to Bartom. And this is where he is just off his rocker, and he's just saying things, like, just to say them. He's like, oh, so let me tell you this story about the fucking Catwoman. Basically, she's fucking insane. There's nothing this woman hasn't done. And so they're sitting, he sets it up, the story of, so this is what happens to me with Cameron Diaz. We're driving in my Camaro.
Ferrari.
All right, I'm not a car person, so fuck you guys.
Pretty sure it's a Ferrari FXX.
Okay, so they're driving in this car, right?
I said it was...
And she's in the driver's seat, and he even says, let me tell you the story about how she fucked my car. I didn't know what to think
I instantly
before this scene. Shifter. I was like,
That's what I thought too.
I was like,
what else?
We're about to see Cameron Diaz ride a shifter knob.
Yeah. Or did he mean to say, fuck me in my car?
Or wreck the car?
Or wreck the car?
Yeah,
wreck no, the no. car. She fucks this car. And they show it.
Yeah.
So she takes off her panties in the car, gets on top of the fucking, like, crawls up the windshield.
Yeah.
And just, like, straddles this windshield for him to watch.
But they never show.
He even says something. No, they don't show it.
They don't show Cameron Diaz. It's totally a double.
Well, either way, they're showing her character get up there and do this. And there's no nudity in this movie. But it is pretty graphic.
Yeah.
And Bartom's character is just, like, staring, like, mouth open. And he even says something.
Not mouth open, like tongue hanging out, drooling, like in shock.
Like, yeah. What the fuck is happening? And he's all like, well, you know, she used to be a dancer. So apparently, Cameron Diaz has also been a stripper.
No, he said that she used to be a dancer when he was saying that she could do the splits. That I don't think that necessarily means a stripper.
Watch this scene again.
I did.
He did.
It is uncomfortable.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
So he says something about like it's a fishbowl or something like that. You know,
it looked like a catfish
because she was like, upside down like, when she kissed him.
He says something like it's a sucker. Like one of those suckers on the side of a fish tank.
That was great. Fuck?
Yeah, that was great.
Pretty funny. That was a funny part. So, and then she leans over and kisses him, and he's still, like, staring at what's going on this car windshield. He says something like, well, she's like, oh, did you like what you seen? He's like, oh, and it's like I was looking at the fucking stars or something. He's like, no, man, I was staring right at it. You know? And, you know, she gets down and she gets back in the car and, you know, he hands her back her panties or whatever. And he's like, well, have you ever done this before? And she's like, I've done everything before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. This woman is fucking crazy. And that's what he even says. He's like, this woman is batshit crazy. Man, I'm in love with her and blah, blah, blah. What the fuck, dude? And then the counselor's like, why are you telling me this? And Bartom's like, why am I telling you this? Holy shit, I shouldn't be telling you this. Why did I tell you this? And then it goes to a scene with the counselor talking to Penelope Cruz on the phone where they're exchanging weird sexual dialogue. And then the counselor says, is this phone sex?
Yeah. That was ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then says, I love you. I miss you. Goodbye.
Yeah.
What a pointless fucking scene.
That was awkward.
I mean,
I was going to say that was the most pointless scene, but it really wasn't.
No, because it shows that he loves her and blah, you know, like, I don't know. I keep saying blah, blah, blah because that's what I fucking heard this entire movie.
The first time I watched it, I felt like he was being shady. Like, he was pretending to love
her. Oh, and then Bartom's all like, just forget it. Just forget that I told you this incredibly uncomfortable sexual story.
Her vagina looked like a catfish. The sucker fish in the side of a
Let me just tell you about this woman that I'm fucking and what her vagina looks like.
Yeah.
What?
Pocosmos.
This is all an hour and like 7 minutes into the movie. There's still 50. And when we paused it initially to go have a cigarette because this movie is so fucking ridiculously boring.
Oh, you were like a third of the way in?
No, dude, we were an hour in. And it said like an hour and 57 minutes at the end. And I was like, oh my God, we have an hour and 57 minutes left of this piece of shit. And Rick's like,
no way.
Rick's like, no, it's an hour and 57 minutes total. And I'm like, oh my God, thank you. I do not want to sit through two more fucking hours of this piece of fucking garbage. It's
really interesting at first because you're like, okay, this is cool.
It builds you up.
How does this tie in?
The back of the box sounds kind of interesting.
And then you find out it doesn't tie. About an hour in, you're like, none of this ties into anything.
Yeah,
at all. You kind of start to figure out that you're being strung along for a ride. You know? Yeah. That's kind of how I felt. I was like, all that build up, it could have been so much cooler than it is right now.
Alright, so this is where I wrote, this is what's happened so far. Counselor does a drug deal with Bartom, and he tries to talk him out of doing the drug deal. Then the counselor meets with the middleman, Brad Pitt, who also tries to talk him out of doing the drug deal. Then the drug deal is confirmed while now showing that Cameron Diaz is going to be double-crossing Bartom and the counselor. This then goes into the scene. What were you going to say?
I don't think Bartom has anything in the drug deal. I think...
No, this is...
The dude's using the money from the drug deal to open the nightclub with Bartom.
He's also partners.
That's how he gets drug in.
Hold on. Introduces him to Brad Pitt.
Hold on. This is how the drug deal goes on, right?
Man, we are an hour into this.
Reiner and the counselor are investors. They have the money to buy the drugs. Brad Pitt is setting them up with... Brad Pitt's a smuggler. He is the one coordinating all the smuggling of the drugs into the country and getting it to the buyer.
This movie should have been about Brad Pitt and not about the counselor. It should have been called Brad Pitt, the Smuggler, and been about Brad Pitt's character. And this movie would have been way more interesting. Way better.
Yeah. So... Reiner and the counselor dies and gets his fucking head cut. Are both investors.
That was my favorite part.
That was the best scene.
They're going in halvesies on this drugs at manufacturer's cost and selling them for street value, but they're not dealing with the drugs themselves. Brad Pitt's dealing with the smuggling and the handing over of the money and all that stuff.
Yes, correct. But Diaz is going to double cross fucking everyone.
Well, it's about this point you learn. You meet the wire man who is spying on the motorcycle kid who picks up some mysterious package from one of the other guys.
The guy with the drugs. He picks up the chip. He picks out of up the
starter, basically.
No, it was. I don't think that's what it was.
It was like a thing that couldn't start. You couldn't.
It was like a low jack.
Something they rigged. Yeah, it was like a low jack that was hardwired in so it wouldn't start without it.
And so the guy that the counselor bails out of jail. Has that in his helmet. He gets his head cut off.
Another awesome scene.
Yeah. There's these, like, few good scenes where it's just, like, something happens, and...
Well, if you've seen the trailer, then you know what's gonna happen. Because you see him pull up, you see the spool of wire, and you're like, oh, I know what scene this is.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's, like,
and although they didn't get
point in the trailer.
They didn't show nudity with the sex scenes, at least the kill scenes in this movie
were gory. Yeah.
Oh, thank God. At least something was good in this movie.
The kills were good. The few kills
Everybody gets their head fucking cut off. There's three one people. Dude or two dudes who get shot in the head.
Three.
Yeah.
Reiner gets shot in the head.
Few people get shot in the head, but then like...
Which I didn't see coming.
More than get their head cut off.
Yeah. Only three people get their head cut off.
Brad Pitt probably gets his head cut off there.
No, he does. They show it.
They definitely see blood spray everywhere.
And put him on a gurney and everybody's like, oh my god!
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That was the best scene.
Alright, so Brad Pitt calls the counselor. And he's all like, so have you looked at the newspaper? No, I can't believe you haven't looked at a newspaper. You're a counselor. Why aren't you reading the newspaper? What are you talking about? I have no idea what you're talking about. Well, that's good. You're not going to have to convince me. You're going to have to convince these other people that you had nothing to do with this. Do with what? I have no idea what you're talking about. You can't pick up a newspaper? What? They talk about newspapers for, like, ridiculous amount of time. But basically, he tells them that this drug deal has gone bad. Someone has stolen the drugs.
Yeah.
And is delivering them to John Leguizamo.
Well, that's when you find out for sure that the bike rider was the inmate's son, because that's how it ties the counselor to the drugs.
Yeah.
That freaking Rosie Perez. I don't remember anything except White Man Can't Jump.
Oh, yeah.
That's the last movie I remember her in.
I forgot she was in.
Okay, so then this goes into another scene where Brad Pitt is laughing hysterically at the counselor. And how bad of a situation this is. He's like, I can just disappear into nowhere.
Yeah.
But you're the counselor.
Yeah.
You can't do that. Yeah. Or you won't do that. And then this goes straight into him explaining to the counselor what a snuff film is. And so
I thought he explained the snuff film the first time you met.
And that was actually relevant information.
This is right here.
That was crazy.
It is relevant information because, spoiler alert, Penelope dies in a fucking snuff film.
Yeah, he gets the DVD.
And it says, hola.
Yeah, hola.
Hola. Hola.
He just breaks down and drooling he just everywhere. Fucking
starts bawling. And, you know, understandably.
Well, yeah, that would.
But.
That would suck. Bad.
It is just. I'm going to sound heartless, but it is hilarious. Because this movie is so awful.
Let's talk about a snuff film for a second. I just realized something. Brad Pitt explains.
Counselor is about to cry as.
He is crying.
Brad Pitt is explaining what a snuff film is, and
well, 'cause he's
and Counselor is just
Cruise.
Freaking out. He's just, oh my god, this is awful. Oh. I mean, it's bad, but do you need to be crying? And how do you not know what a snuff film is? I mean, we've all heard of snuff films, right? And well, if you haven't, watch The Counselor because usually it'll break it down for you what
done.
A snuff
this
film
one went
is.
A little farther than that.
I think, during the scene, Brad Pitt explains that he knows a guy that watched a snuff film.
Yeah.
I'd be willing to bet that guy he knows is not him. I'd be willing to bet the guy he knows was the last guy that took the counselor's place.
Or you
know what I'm saying? The like, he saw it happen to another guy before. Like, he was like, yep, that's why I don't mess around with these
guys.
That's
why he knew exactly what was happening. Yep. He was like, I'm out of here.
Then I thought, because I even wrote this down, are Diaz and Rainer in it together?
Yeah, I thought they might be at that point.
And then it goes to another pointless scene. Well, I mean, I guess it's not pointless because it sets up Penelope Cruz, her kidnap situation.
Yeah.
But why are they talking on the phone? I mean, why isn't he like, hey, don't go home?
Well, yeah, why is the first thing out of his mouth?
Go home and wait for me.
Go to a payphone. You know,
because he was on the cell phone he borrowed from the lady at the park.
Even when Brad Pitt called him, he's like, "Where are you?" He's like, "I'm at home." And Brad Pitt was like, "Why are you at home?" He's like, "I'm not at home. I'm out of here." And this dude's like, "I'll be gone in an hour." And Brad Pitt just laughs, like, "You're an idiot. You'll be dead in an hour."
Oh my god, dude! The counselor is such a fucking idiot. And when Penelope Cruz is all like, "Well, where should we go then? Where should we meet up? Boise?"
And she's on the internet, like, "Duh, they can just trace all that."
I don't know, man. I would think a counselor would be smarter than this because haven't you seen cases like this? Wouldn't you know to use, like, payphones or a pager or something
honestly,
like that?
When's the last time you saw a payphone?
I don't think lawyers are too emotionally involved to think about their point of view. They just want to know how to win the case.
I feel like this
Superman
guy should
doesn't
be...
even change into a payphone anymore.
I'm sure you can find them somewhere. Or, like, these prepay phones or something like that.
I get a burner.
I just don't understand why this is happening. I wrote down, Rainer and Diaz can't be together because now Rainer's freaking out about, like, what's happening because the counselor's telling him, hey, man, shit went bad, and Rainer's freaking out. He's like, I don't know who to trust. Let's not talk inside. Let's go talk outside. And so they're talking outside, and yet Cameron Diaz is listening to them fucking talk in another room. And how? How did she bug the outside?
I think she bugged the cheetahs.
The cheetahs.
But I didn't see any cheetahs right there in that scene.
No, I didn't either.
Well, that would make sense.
But they're probably outside.
The one time they were relevant, they weren't in the scene.
Yeah. For real.
This fucking movie. Okay, and so then Rainer is leaving his house because he's like, fuck this, or he's going somewhere, and he's taking the cheetahs with him. And so he's backing out of his driveway, and he's driving down the street, and he sees all these black vehicles. Apparently, if you're a bad guy, black SUVs are key to your operation because there's like six of them, and they smash into him. And then he's like trying to run.
And you hear him. He's like, we need him alive. We need him alive.
And they just shoot him in the head.
Yeah. They shoot him in the leg and shoot him in the back of the head. Like, really?
Yeah.
Why did they even say we need him alive? Why didn't they just cut that out and kill him? And that was the end of Bardem.
I don't even know why they needed him alive.
To torture him. Because death is too easy.
But it just... It doesn't come back to why they needed him alive. It's just, hey, we needed you alive. For some fucking reason. Just to say it. You fucked up. Okay. So, then I wrote, Bardem is dead. Then I wrote Penelope Cruz is kidnapped, and that's a brutal kidnapping because they just kind of like are. I don't know. It the guy looked super rapey. Yeah, he was following her. Like he gets out of his black SUV, bad guy wear.
Wearing all black.
Wearing all black with a super rapey look. And he just gets out, and she, you know, she gets, and they just stop in the middle of the fucking parking lot in this parking garage and just stop. And then the guy gets out, looks super rapey, and starts walking right at
him. Right, him and the car. And she doesn't realize that the dude in this car walking.
And she's like, all right, this is kind of weird, but, you know, maybe he's just dropping him off. She grabs her luggage and she's looking. She's like, all right, this is kind of weird. She's walking away, grabbing, you know, with her luggage, and she's holding her luggage, pulling it behind her. And she's looking. This guy just rapey following her. And this car just creeping around the corner. Like, we're going to fucking kidnap you. You should fucking run. And so she just drops her luggage and fucking books. And then rapey runs after her. They grab her, or he hits her over the head with something, and they throw her in the truck and they're out of there. So that's gone. Then they cut to a scene with John Leguizamo, who is not billed because he's uncredited, and his name...
Harry? Or Henry? Something like that.
He's the guy receiving all the drugs.
Yeah. He's the guy who opens the truck. We totally forgot to mention that these drugs are stored inside a welded compartment in a shit truck.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Good place, I guess.
Definitely.
You know, nobody's going to go sniffing in a shit truck for drugs.
But there's only... There's four containers, but only three of them have drugs.
One's got a body.
Yeah, they're always sending bodies up from Colombia. Because and you know, it just goes around America, man. It just goes around America until someone buys it in a storage fucking container. What? Welcome to America. That's what John Leguizamo said. And his name is Coverall Man Randy.
Randy.
That's a good name. Coverall Man Randy. Ugh. Wonder if he likes cheeseburgers.
Nice Trailer Park Boys reference. All right. So then
the
I wrote.
Liquor's doing all the thinking now.
This is the second time that the counselor cries because they cut to a scene where he's crying, talking to this guy on the phone, and everybody's speaking in riddles.
Yeah.
And so. Really the bad guy, riddles. Oh my god, so long-winded, super long, everything, super long. The bad guy on the phone, who is the cartel leader, you were saying?
Yeah.
The second guy he calls, yeah.
He says, you know...
He's billed as Jefe.
Throughout a whole long-winded speech, there's, will you switch places, or would you switch places with your wife? And the counselor's like bawling. His eyes out. Yes, I want to switch places with the beautiful Penelope Cruz. She's my world. I love her. And the bad guy, the cartel, this is good. This is good. And the counselor's like, well, is it possible? Can this happen? This is impossible.
No, I'm sorry.
What?
It's good that you want to do it, but it's
then,
not possible.
And then he says a whole bunch more things about how it's, you know, I'm an asshole and I just want to see people suffer. But at the end of the day, I'm just going to take a small nap. And this is after the counselor has received the snuff film of Penelope Cruz. Because then hola. We go, hola,
hola.
We cut to a scene of a... like a bulldozer or something yeah. That's got like a dump yeah. on it, dumping out dead Penelope Cruz without a head.
Into the landfill.
Mm-hmm. And then she gets covered over.
With garbage. The counselor again asks them during this whole long-winded speech, why are you telling me this? And that's when he's like, oh, because I want to know that you're suffering. And at the end of the day, all I'm going to do is take a small nap, because I don't give a shit. The counselor gets the snuff film, freaks out, then Diaz is they shoot to this scene where Cameron Diaz is talking to her banker. She's talking about how she's getting $20 million in diamonds out of this whole deal by fucking over Rainer, fucking over the counselor, fucking over Brad Pitt. And, okay, we completely glossed over that part where Brad Pitt gets that device put on his head that Rainer's talking to the counselor earlier in the movie about, where it just, like, strangles you and then keeps going until it basically cuts your head clean off.
Yep. Kind of want one of those.
Best part of the whole movie. All right. He was all paranoid and they kept showing people run up to him and you're like, ah! And then nothing happened. And then he saw two people and you're like, ah! And then there it went. And you knew it was coming.
Oh, yeah. When it's cutting off his fingers because he's, like, holding it.
Yeah.
And then it see him,
fuck
like...
Fuck you! Fuck
yeah.
You!
Yeah.
That's what he was
And then he's artery. On the ground and it just slices his neck wide open and there's blood all over the place.
Oh, yeah. And everybody's just standing there like, oh, that sucks. They're like, well, he's sitting on the thing holding this thing trying to stop it. And there's,
and
like,
he's just screaming,
people around
fuck
him
you.
Just watching
fuck
him.
You.
Like, oh, man, that sucks.
Yeah.
Well, I think everybody is like, what the fuck is going on? Because I don't think anybody on that street was all like, oh, you know, it's one of those things that they put on your neck and it just goes until it cuts your head off.
Just the cartel killing people.
You know, no, it's just, that's just a routine thing.
Yeah.
And that's the scene, the exact scene where Brad Pitt is talking to the counselor on the phone and he's all like, why are you at home? I'm not at home. I've changed into my disguise of, instead of having my long hair down, it's now into a short ponytail.
Yeah.
Except for I'm wearing the exact same glasses, haven't changed anything other than the fact that I'm leaving here, and after I got off the phone with you, I'm throwing it into the garbage can. So Cameron Diaz gets $20 million in diamonds, or at least claims she does, says she's moving to Hong Kong because it's really easy to move the diamonds, and then she tells the banker to get out. And then the movie, without any reason, ends.
There was more to the ending. Because that guy that she talks to at the end isn't her banker. It's like, at the beginning of the movie, when they're watching the cheetahs, and he asks her, like, does this remind you of something? Or does this remind you of someone? And she says that he's in jail or whatever. I'm pretty sure that's the guy at the end. Because that's, the whole movie was about those two fucking
I
over.
I fucking
these
hate
three
this
people.
Movie.
Because he said, because they were his cats, they were his cheetahs.
All right,
because
so
he says, "How are the cats?" And they were named.
So, what maybe. Would you rate this movie on a scale of 1 to 50 Randy Quaids?
I'd give it like,
and 50 Randy Quaids is obviously really good, and
oh,
one Randy Quaid is just not good.
Horrible. I'd give it,
the less Randy Quaids, the better. Wait, I said that backwards. The more Randy Quaids, the better.
The more Randy Quaids, the better? Okay, I give it 25 Randy Quaids.
Wow. That is going to be the best review of this
movie. Yeah, without a doubt.
Well, once you cut through everything and you just follow the plot and disregard the dialogue that doesn't matter, and then when the end hits and the twist, it's not that bad. But there is so much useless stuff in this movie. It should have been a 30-minute movie.
Yeah, I would have been fine with 60 minutes. I mean, even at the 60-minute mark, I was like, what the fuck? This movie is taking
maybe like
so long.
Maybe a pilot for a TV show where you get to meet all these characters.
Yeah, like a 10-episode TV show, it would have been probably a lot better.
Five Randy Quaids.
10? Well, did you like anything?
Maybe.
Was there any good thing?
Special
effects?
I liked the quote-unquote, I guess, action scenes where people died. But other than that, this movie was
just...
Any of
the jokes?
Nah, I mean, because, like, everything else was really just uncomfortable and pointless.
The blowjob joke was pretty hilarious.
Well, that was funny. But, I mean, that's
you should get
like,
one Randy Quaid for the blowjob joke.
I mean, it's basically getting... I'll give it 10 Randy Quaids because it's got a great cast. Other than that, this movie is fucking garbage, and I wouldn't recommend anybody see it. I would... never watch this movie again. I will go out of my way to not watch this movie.
You work? Are you going to tell people at work not to watch it? You're going to be like, you shouldn't get that.
I would tell anybody to not see this movie. It's just awful.
It is awful.
So I'm going to give it 10 Randy Quaids.
I would totally, you know, I liked it. Not at all. I was lying. It was horrible. I'm still going to give it 15 Randy Quaids. 15 because a couple of good jokes. Most of the kill scenes were really cool. I think there was a lot of potential, but it just fell short. But I would also, in addition to the 15 Randy Quaids, I would also like to give it 3 Star Whackers.
Yes.
Because it completely took all these stars from the writer to the director to almost the entire cast.
Yeah.
And just made them look like crap.
Yeah.
It's hard to make Brad Pitt look like crap. And it kind of made Brad Pitt look like crap.
Yeah.
I would definitely, 15 at the most. And I had to sit through it twice. It was awful. I'm going to go kill myself now.
All right, I just want to thank everyone who liked us on Facebook at our 50 Randy Quaids Facebook page, and I want to thank all of our subscribers on the 50 Randy Quaids YouTube channel. I want to thank Tom Meeks and Dan Turple for sharing our posts. I want to also, again, you can follow us on Twitter at 50 Randy Quaids. You can go onto our Facebook page and like us at 50 Randy Quaids, and then you can go and subscribe to us on YouTube channel 50 Randy Quaids. Anybody else want to plug anything?
I want to plug your mom.
Oh. All right. Peace out.
This was Randy Quaid starring Chuck Banner, produced by Tater, and recorded at Jane Jug Studios.